Just to give a little bit of introduction to the scripture that you heard read. Before this scripture, there is another that begins at verse 17 in Matthew's gospel that says this. While Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. Now, this is a part of Matthew's gospel when we're coming toward the end. We're in chapter 20. We're headed to chapter 28, so we're getting closer to the end of the story. While Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves and said to them on the way, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. And on the third day, he will be raised." Jesus sets out in very clear language what is coming. He is going up to Jerusalem for no other reason than to be crucified, to die. He is headed to the cross. And immediately following this saying, we have this story that Craig, who has been accepted at Iliff Seminary, by the way, that Craig read for us, which says, "Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee, James and John, came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked a favor of him." I wonder sometimes what we hear. I wonder sometimes what we believe our context to be. You see, in the scriptures, it's all about context. The story that was read for you comes in the context of Jesus saying, "I'm going to the cross." And what the mother of James and John hear is, "He'll be raised again." She wants a favor. She wants to get beyond the ugliness of the crucifixion. Don't we all? She wants to get beyond that. It shows up every year when you look at the attendance on Good Friday as compared to Easter. Amen? We want to get beyond the cross. We want to ignore it somehow. We want to act as if, oh, well, that's just a little thing. Jesus says, "I'm going to be crucified." But the mother of the sons of Zebedee says, "Well, what about my sons? Can they sit at your right hand and at your left when you come into your glory?" As one of the scriptures says, the scripture also appears in the Gospel of Mark. Can they gain favor? Can they have a place of honor? And Jesus says, "Do you even know what it is you're asking? Do you have any idea what you're asking?" And then I believe he looks to the sons. "Are you able to drink from the cup that I am about to drink from?" And in the words which we know so familiar from the hymn, they answer, "We are able. We are able." Do they really know what it is they're saying they are able to do? And isn't that true of all of us? Do we really have any idea? We want to jump right over the cross to the glory. We want that, the wonder of it. That's what we want. We want the status. We want the power. We want the favor. We want to be seen, don't we? One of my favorite comedians is Dave Barry. And he wrote a book entitled Dave Barry Goes to Washington. And in the book, he talks about how people differentiate from one another. He says, there's sort of a status totem pole, he says. Way up at the top of the pole is the president. And way down at the bottom is the public. And in between, he says, is an extremely complex hierarchy of government officials, journalists, lobbyists, lawyers, and other power players holding thousands of minutely graduated status rankings, differentiated by extremely subtle nuances that only Washingtonians are capable of grasping. For example, Washingtonians know whether a person whose title is Principal Assistant Deputy Undersecretary is more or less important than a person whose title is Associate Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary, or Principal Deputy to Deputy Assistant Secretary, or Deputy to the Deputy Secretary, or Principal Assistant Deputy Undersecretary, or Chief of Staff to the Assistant Assistant Secretary. All of these are real federal job titles. Everybody in Washington always seems to know exactly how much status everyone else has. And he says, I don't know how they do it. Maybe they all get together in some secret location and sniff one another. Titles. In some parts of the world, titles become very important. I've had trouble with my staff, actually, trying to figure out my title. It's crazy-making. That's why I just prefer call me either Candace or Pastor Candace. It's just easier that way. It's just easier. But we're all into that, aren't we? Not only were James and John into it, and his mother was into it, but the next part of the scripture says the other disciples got upset with James and John. I wonder why. I think they were afraid they hadn't asked first. What about us, they say to Jesus. What about us? Where do we stand? They got upset because maybe they had hoped for these two places, one on Jesus' right and one on Jesus' left. But you see, Jesus, as he has a tendency to do, turns everything upside down. He turns everything upside down. And he says, whoever wishes to be first must be your, not servant, your slave. And we don't like that language, do we? But that's the language that's in the scripture. Whoever wishes to be first must be your slave. I came to serve, not to be served. See, Jesus is looking to the cross. He knows what's coming. The disciples aren't so sure. They want to sort of bounce over that to get to the glory part. They wanted to be self-important. But Jesus had another idea. There's a story told about a person in an airport waiting area. You ever been in one of those? You know, most of us, I think, have been in an airport waiting area. Sometimes there are difficult places to be in. And one day in particular, there was kind of bad weather, and so there were delays and cancellations throughout the whole system, and you know, oftentimes that impacts you as well. And there was a passenger waiting on standby. And he was a senior business executive and was just so desperate to get on the plane so that he could get to the meeting that was coming up, because he'd be late if the plane didn't take off on time. So he kept coming up to the counter and trying to get the airline staff to move him up higher on the standby list. Now, why he was on the standby list and not in first class, I have no idea, but he somehow ended up on the standby list. Maybe he'd been bumped off some other flight. The agent had just put down the microphone, having said to the crowd for the third or fourth time, "Those of you who are on standby, please sit, and we'll call your name when we have a seat for you." Well, this guy wasn't about to take no for an answer. And so he kept pestering the agent, kept standing there, explaining how what important it was for him. You know, he was so important. It was important for him to get on this next flight. And finally, just in exasperation, he said, "Do you know who I am?" So the ticket agent picked up the microphone and she said, "Ladies and gentlemen, we have a man here who does not know who he is." "Would someone please claim him? Offer him a seat in the waiting area and tell him I'll talk to him when it's his turn." See, Jesus turned everything upside down because he was looking to the cross. Where do we see ourselves? Where do we see ourselves? How do we see ourselves? One of my personal heroes is Albert Schweitzer. Wonderful man. You know, he spent most of his life in the jungles of Africa providing medical service. And he said this: "Life becomes harder for us when we live for others, but it also becomes richer and happier." Becomes hard when we live for others, but it also becomes richer and happier. See, I think that's what joy is all about. You know, that word that I love, that you all seem to love too, because you use it so loudly at the end of worship. Joy. Where does real joy in life come from? It comes from being there for others. It comes in knowing that it's not all about you. It's not all about me. It's not all about wearing fancy robes. John Paul XXIII is another personal hero of mine in so many ways. And I know he got this from somebody else. But he talked about being Pope. And he said it was about being a servant to the servants of God. That's what it was about, being a servant to the servants of God. And that's what it should be for us, too, that we see ourselves as people who are in service to others. Not for our own self-aggrandizement. And that's a big word, isn't it? But so that we can be there for others. The higher up the chain you go, and I don't want to get too political here, but the higher up the chain you go, the more you should see yourself as a servant to others. Another personal hero, John Wooden, that great UCLA basketball coach. I love basketball. Football may be over soon, but we've still got March Madness ahead of us. You know. John Wooden was an incredible coach, a humble man. He said, "Talent is God-given. Be humble. Fame is man-given. Be grateful. Conceit is self-given. Be careful. Be careful. Who do you see when you see Jesus? Who do you see when you see Jesus? We see, I hope, a man who is headed to the cross. Not for himself, for sure. Because who would want that, really? He even asked that that cup be allowed to pass. But he knew what it was he was to do. He knew what his life purpose was. And so he went to the cross for us. He gave his life for us. And as followers of Jesus, we are asked to do the same for others. Do you want to be great? Do you want to be great? You must be a servant. Will you pray with me? God, there are times when we wonder about your son. He could have had it all. He really could have. And yet he chose your way for his life. And as his followers, we sometimes are like James and John, wondering whether we can move up, whether we could be seen as successful. And yet Jesus' response is, are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink? And we want to say we are able, but we know how hard it can be. So we ask for your help, God. When choices come our way, that we would choose your road for us. That we could be seen as giving ourselves for others and knowing it's not all about us. We want to be great. We really do. But we also want to follow Jesus. So help us look to the example that he set and seek first to serve others. Help us, God, that it might be true for our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.